Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 1, Questions by the Sages. We're reading text number 12 to begin with. Sutta Janasi Bhadram Te Bhagavan Sattvatam Pati Devakyam Vasudevasya Jato Yasya Chikirshaya. Sutta, Sutta Goswami, Janasi, you know, Bhadram Te, all blessings upon you, Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead, Sattvatam, of the pure devotees, Pati, the protector, Devakyam, in the womb of Devaki. Vasudevasya, by Vasudev. Jata, born of. Yasya, for the purpose of. Chikirshaya, executing. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. All blessings upon you, O Sutta Goswami. You know for what purpose the personality of Godhead appeared in the womb of Devaki as the son of Vasudeva. Purport. Bhagavan means the Almighty God, who is the controller of all opulences, power, fame, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation. He is the protector of his pure devotees, although he is especially inclined to his devotees. And persons who are servitors of the Absolute Truth are called sattvatas. And the personality of Godhead who protects such pure devotees is known as the protector of the sattvatas. Bhadram Te, or blessings upon you, indicates the sage's anxiety to know the Absolute Truth from the speaker, Lord Shri Krishna. Lord Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, appeared to Devaki, the wife of Vasudeva. Vasudeva is the symbol of the transcendental position wherein the appearance of the Supreme Lord takes place. So I guess we should just read the verses, is that right? So until we get to 17. Oh, Sutta Goswami, we're eager to learn about the personality of Godhead and his incarnations. Please explain to us those teachings imparted by the previous masters, acharyas, for one is uplifted both by speaking them and by hearing them. Text 14. Living beings were entangled in the complicated meshes of birth and death, can be freed immediately by even unconsciously chanting the holy name of Krishna, which is feared by fear personified. O Sutta, those great sages who have completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord can at once sanctify those who come in touch with them, whereas the waters of the Ganges can sanctify only after prolonged use. Text 16. Though who is there desiring deliverance from the vices of the age of quarrel, who is not willing to hear the virtuous glories of the Lord? 17. His transcendental acts of magnificent and gracious, and great learned sages like Narada sing of them. Please therefore speak to us who are eager to hear about the adventures he performs in his various incarnations. And then we go over to chapter 5, text number 40, is that 16? What's that? Oh, okay. There was some, anyway. So, Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristai Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatundeve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskyadhyade Siddharna. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna spoke 700 verses, and therefore he spoke the most essential philosophy in the small amount of time he had. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam deals with essential questions, as Arjuna was asking essential questions. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, in this instance, headed by Suta Goswami, is asking essential questions, like, what is religion? What is the purpose of life? And here, it explains about incarnations. In other words, as Krishna says, or as it says later on, that Mitirna Krishna Parato Mitirna Krishna Paratak Sutova Mitobi Padyeta Griha Ratanam. The last people choose as their leader in the material world is Krishna. Because if they chose Krishna as their leader, they wouldn't be in the material world anymore. And people want to be in the material world, at least they have some hope that if somehow or another they can improve their material situation, they'll eventually become happy. Therefore, they choose that their leader, as Krishna will say, Itevidu Swarthikatim Hi Vishnu. Not only they don't know who Vishnu is, but even if they're interested in to find out who Vishnu is, then they're generally misled. Andaya tandira upigimanas te pisha tantra urudami bara. People are blind and they choose a leader who's equally or more blind than they are, and the result is not only they don't make progress, but sometimes they go down into the lower species of life. Therefore, it's essential to find out who God is and how he's appearing. Sri Rupa Goswami has told us that the process of obtaining pure devotional service is anyabhilasita shunyam jnana karma diravritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uttama. So part of this, there's three different sections divided into two ways. One is called anushilanam, which means anu, to follow in the footsteps of previous authorities. And anukulyena means we try to find out how to love Krishna from them, how to develop a favorable attitude towards Krishna. Material existence simply means somehow or another, consciously or unconsciously, we don't have the best attitude towards Krishna. That attitude has been summarized as bhaya dvitiya bidneshitasya ishara apatasya vipariosmriti. Somehow or another, we have this mentality that if there is a God, then he's my competitor. And God is appearing before us in so many different ways. For instance, we may think, well, there is God, there is Krishna, and I know I have to be favorable towards him because otherwise I might get myself into trouble. So therefore I come and I put my hands before Krishna and say, yes, Krishna, please, either don't cause me too much problems today or give me what I desire. So we have some respect towards Krishna because he's the boss and we might get into trouble or he might give us some reward. But Krishna says, Sarabhutastam Atmanam Sarabhutani Chatmani Ikshite Yoga Yukta Atma Sarvatra Samadarshanaha, that the true yogi observes me in all beings and also sees every being in me. Indeed, the self-realized soul sees me, the same Supreme Lord, everywhere. And for one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. So actually, we're not just dealing with Krishna as the deity. Every moment we're dealing with Krishna, who happens to be everywhere. We can't escape him. Although we can become unconscious or semi-conscious or partially conscious, and sometimes we may understand how Krishna is present and act accordingly, and sometimes we may become unconscious and just act according to the whims of the modes of nature that we're situated under. Because sadhana bhakti, the process of sadhana bhakti, is to somehow or another train us to act appropriately towards Krishna and the temple and hopefully towards Krishna's devotees. For instance, we're learning the process of hearing. We're sitting here and I'm speaking and you're listening, or you're listening and I'm also listening. The words coming from the great sages, because Krishna has advented himself in this age in a form which most people would not consider an incarnation, but Krishna is incarnated in the sound form of Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhakti yogena manasi samyag pranihite male apaishat purusham purnam maya cha tarapashayam. Śrīla Vyāsadeva saw, actually there is Krishna, and that's all there is. Unfortunately, yaya samohitam jīva. All the jīvas in this world are completely covered by ignorance, and therefore they have to undergo the threefold miseries. But Śrīla Vyāsadeva, out of his compassion for those who are blind, he's compiled the Śrīmad Bhāgavatam, who's actually the incarnation of Krishna in this age. Krishna swadharma upagatam dharma gyana javisaha kalo nashta dvishamesha pararnarko dunoditaha. Now that Krishna has left, and he's gone, apparently he's gone back to his own abode, although he stopped off in Radhadesh, luckily, so he can give his association. So although Krishna, apparently, to most people's vision, has gone back to the abode, now for those who are interested in taking shelter of real religion so that they can get real knowledge, so where do they go? So they go to the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the incarnation of Krishna, one of Krishna's incarnations in this age. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, here we're reading, we'll find out who's an incarnation, who's actually representing Krishna and who's not representing Krishna. So that we can mahajano yena katasa panda. We're all followers, although we're claiming sometimes to be the leaders, but everyone is ultimately a follower. We may only admit it to our best friend. And even they may be surprised. Just like Narada Muni, he goes to his father in the first canto, or the second canto. He goes to his father and says, "My dear father, I think you're a god." And Brahma says, "Well, confidentially, I'm not God. I didn't do the creation by myself. There's someone else." "No." "You're humble. You're just being humble." "No, really. There's actually someone above me." So similarly, it is not simply out of humility we should think, "I'm a servant." Or we should think, "Oh, I'm a servant. Oh, how horrible. This philosophy says I'm a servant." And therefore, the temple commander goes and says, "You know, please wash the pot." "Yes, boss, yes, boss, yes." So we have some conception of a servant, and it's usually not very favorable. But whether we like it or not, by constitution, everyone has to choose someone as a leader and then follow them. If we choose the right leader, then our life becomes auspicious. And if we choose the wrong leader, then our life becomes perhaps even more inauspicious than it already is. Therefore, we have to find out what's an incarnation. In this in that verse, the definition of pure devotional service, anushilanam means not only Krishna personally, because it's Krishna anushilanam, but also those who actually represent Krishna. Each one of us are supposed to represent Krishna, although we may not represent Krishna, as it says in that verse, Krishna Shakti Vinanaya Tara Pavartana. That unless one is invested with the power of Krishna, then one cannot spread Krishna consciousness. But to a certain extent, we must be invested with the power of Krishna. Otherwise, how can we repeat the message of Krishna? Only Krishna can actually repeat the Bhagavad Gita. And therefore, although it appears that I'm an ordinary person, others are ordinary person, and then there is the extraordinary incarnations. But that's not how Krishna explains what is going on. First of all, due to our false ego, we think we're the doer. And when we watch ourselves doing things, we're not very impressed. Because we think, oh, here's Krishna. He lifted Govardhan Hill with his little pinky of his left hand and held it there for 7 days a night, and I can hardly lift up my school book. Krishna danced with the gopis for one night of Brahma, and after 15 minutes of dancing, I got to sit down. So we don't look at this, our activities, as very special. And indeed, compared to Lord Tortoise holding up Mandara Hill made out of gold, 100,000 yojanas high, we're not very powerful. We certainly can't compete in the opulence of strength. Nor do we have the beauty or the wealth or the fame or anything else of an incarnation. But we can act as an instrument by repeating the message of Krishna. The Bhagavad Gita is significant, especially for us, because it gives us the knowledge of Krishna. Krishna's knowledge is the most direct way of understanding that he's God, because we cannot presently see how he's beautiful. We can see the deity, and to some extent, according to our surrender, appreciate how beautiful the deity is. We can hear about Krishna's fame, and at least amongst the devotees, he's famous. Everyone here knows Shri Shri Radha Gopinath. But if you go to the street and you tell them about Shri Shri Radha Gopinath, they may not know very much about him. Of course, if you go there and tell people on the street that we need Shri Shri Radha Gopinath, we're doing a collection for them, then they may think that Shri Shri Radha Gopinath are some people who are in trouble, and they may give a donation if we explain it in the right way. You know, they're hungry and we have to feed them. Can you please give a donation? So they may take compassion on Shri Shri Radha Gopinath. But in terms of knowing who they actually are, it's very unlikely. But if we explain the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, the fact that the body's changing, but the soul, our cells within the body, are always the same, that this knowledge must be coming from God. And our ability to repeat that knowledge is also coming from God, because we ourselves, whatever knowledge we have, whatever remembrance we have, whatever we can't remember, that's also coming from Krishna. If we want to serve Krishna, then Krishna gives us the intelligence how to do it. And if we want to forget Krishna, then Krishna also gives us the intelligence how to do it. But for those who want to serve Krishna, then they become an instrument for Krishna. Nimitra matram bhavasava sachin. When we're performing devotional service, we shouldn't think, oh, how nicely I'm performing this service. We should think, how nicely, by the mercy of my spiritual master in disciple succession, and by the mercy of Krishna, by contacting the internal energy of Krishna, how nicely the internal energy is using this body, my mind, and my words as their instrument, and how I can become observer and appreciate how Krishna's spreading the Krishna consciousness movement using my body, mind, and words as their instrument. And therefore, I can also see how nicely they can perform the Sankirtan movement. But if we think, I'm the doer, I'm doing these things, then maybe we're also being utilized as an instrument, but obviously our knowledge is incomplete because we're also affected by our false ego. Therefore, every devotee, in accordance to his absorption and seriousness in spreading the Sankirtan movement, becomes an instrument for Krishna. One time, at the end of Prabhupada's pastimes, some Indian gentlemen came to where Prabhupada's room and they asked Prabhupada's disciples, please leave, we have a very personal question to ask Swamiji. Prabhupada said, all right. So Prabhupada's caretakers, they left, and these Indian gentlemen had a conversation with Srila Prabhupada. At the end of the conversation, the Indian gentleman left, and the devotees were very curious. What was this important question that the Indian gentleman wanted to ask Srila Prabhupada? And Prabhupada said, they asked me who the next leader will be. Because people want to be the next leader for one reason or another. Everyone's interested in being the leader. No one's interested in asking who will be the next servant. They didn't come to Prabhupada saying, Prabhupada, I want to serve. Tell me how to serve. No, they wanted to find out who the next leader is so they can line up behind him and possibly after he leaves, they become the next leader. So Prabhupada said, all my disciples, they'll be the next leader. Not that I'm going to choose the next leader. That every one of them have the chance to become a leader in as much as they hear from the previous acharyas and follow their instructions, then they become the leader. And Prabhupada said, you can also become the leader to those Indian gentlemen if you follow my instructions. So such an liberal understanding is not very good to some people because it gives us a responsibility. Not that here is the leader, we imagine he's self-realized, and somehow or another he pours his mercy upon us, and we become, you know, self-realized without doing anything. It's all by mercy. Somehow or another, there's a wave of hands, there's a stream of mercy, and we all get zapped by the stream of mercy and go back to the spiritual world. That way we don't have to take any responsibility for what we're doing because it's all mercy. It's just mercy flowing from those who have mercy. I have no mercy. I'm just an object of mercy, that's all. I'm an object of mercy rather than someone who gives mercy. But actually, it's everyone's responsibility to accept the mercy. But what's the mercy? The mercy is how to become an instrument for Krishna through those who are also Krishna's instruments, who represent the instruments who are actually considered to be incarnations, who are coming on behalf of Krishna and who are spreading Krishna consciousness. And that means everyone of us who knows something about Krishna, not only to some extent we're acting as Krishna's instruments, but we have the responsibility to become better and better instruments. And then, of course, we have the incarnations as described here, but paritranaya sarunam vinashaya tridiskritam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavam yuge yuge. In order to protect the pious, to annihilate the miscreants, and to reestablish religious principles. Of course, in this age, we're not about to go out and fight the demons with hand and sword. We hear it, now I'm in incarnation, I should serve the mission of Krishna, now we should go out and battle the demons on the street. That would be nice, but it would be a very short incarnation. The pastimes would be quite limited. Just like it says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if one hears someone blaspheme a devotee or Krishna, then one should try to defeat such a person with philosophy. If one is unable to do that, then one should cut the person's tongue out. And if one is unable to do, and then take one's own life. And if one is unable to do that, one should leave that place. So of course, if we can't defeat people nowadays, because it's practically impossible to defeat anyone, no one will be defeated. Even they're 100% wrong, and they're contradicting themselves every other word, it makes no difference from them. They think, somehow or another, whatever I say is divine, and therefore, in the divine, there can be millions of seemingly things that are contradictory, but still the divine is always right. Therefore, it's practically impossible to defeat most people nowadays. So our next alternative is to cut out their tongues. But obviously on the street, at least for a short period of time, the street would be filled with tongues. It would be very dangerous because we might step on the tongue and slip. And therefore the next stage would be to take our own lives. Of course, it would be quite embarrassing. And it wouldn't accomplish very much either. And of course, to go away, where to go? Therefore, ultimately we should learn how to present Krishna consciousness in such a way is that people become defeated even they don't know that they're even in a fight against Maya. Our weapon principally is prasad and the holy name, and somehow or another distributing these books by flattering people. The incarnation in this age doesn't kill people with a sword. He kills their ignorance by flattering them. Oh, you are so wonderful. You're such a nice person. You have all good qualities. You're the supreme. And they go, yes, yes. This person has some knowledge. He must be very studied. And now he's reached the proper conclusion. When he sees an incarnation, he recognizes him. Yes, now I will give my devotees some benediction. What do you want? Please take this book and give Shishi Radhana Gopinath a donation because they need your mercy. And the person says, yes, yes, no problem. Here's a donation. I'll take the book. Then he can read the book and find out that he's fool number one. In that way, we flatter people. And by flattering people, they somehow or another make some advancement in Krishna consciousness by dancing, chanting, feasting, and then they become a little receptive. Like, what is the recipe for the chapatis? They become a little inquisitive from the devotees. So prasad is also an incarnation of Krishna, so they're inquiring about Krishna. And gradually they can find out that there are other incarnations, especially the sound incarnation of the holy name. How Krishna advents himself as the holy name in a form which is practically imperceivable to most people. If Krishna came in his form as and when he comes as his form as Kalki, the demons will become very much aware of Kalki. When he comes in the form of Parasaram, he's quite evident. There he not only cuts out people's tongues, he cuts their arms, their legs, and everything else. And therefore he creates quite an impression. But the holy name is such a subtle incarnation of Krishna that he's practically imperceivable. But gradually he has his effect upon those who have some receptibility. Especially, it is said, Nivritti Tarshir Upagiyamanas Bhavoshidas Chotra Manobivaramat Kautama Shloka Gunanuvaradat Pumavirajeta Pumavinapashugnat. That if we repeat the knowledge coming into simple succession and realize we're simply becoming an instrument in the service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that this will act like a medicine. It will purify the hearts of the conditioned souls who are suffering due to ignorance. And everyone, practically, who will not accept this wonderful process, except those who are killing themselves and killing animals, which happens to be few people. Therefore, Prabhupada extended the realm of the preaching movement to try to convince people also to take prasad and also to live a life which would be, which would make them more receptive to the reincarnation of Krishna in this age, to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, chant the holy name, and dedicate one's life in the service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement and to serve Krishna's incarnations as the deity and the devotees. If we think the devotees are ordinary, then we might get ourselves into difficulty. Well, we're already in difficulty. If we think the devotees are ordinary, we might not get out of the difficulty, or we may create even a more difficult situation for ourselves. So to understand who the devotees are and what level they're on, so that we can reciprocate with them accordingly, and then see the innocent and their potential to become instruments for Krishna, and to see those who are non-devotees, who are actually making plans to stop the Sankirtan movement, and to try to avoid them. If you're distributing books and in a place where there's high security, you look for the people who are most receptive to take the book. You don't look for the security and then try to give them a book. My dear security, I know you don't want the Hare Krishnas to be here, but I know you're in the most need of mercy. Therefore, I want to approach you first. That may not be a very good strategy for spreading the Sankirtan movement or for our own security. It may be better to approach innocent people who have the most likelihood of taking a book and try to avoid the high security. Therefore, those who have made their purpose in life to stop the Sankirtan movement, who hate Krishna, who have a real strong feeling towards Krishna, which is quite negative, we should try to avoid them. Not only for our own safety, but in order to not waste our time. If we can learn this process of coming to the platform, more and more of spiritual platform, then we become a better and better instrument for Krishna, and then we're able to experience the presence of the holy name, and we're able to explain to others how they can become more and more receptive to the holy name of Krishna, invite the incarnation of this age into their heart. Anarpitam charim charat kuruna yavatirna kalo samarpayitum ujvalo natavala rasam bhakti shriyam hari parata sundara kandamba sundara sandipitaha hari sadahari kandare hankandare sparatu shri nach shri sachinananaha. That we're trying to invite Krishna, especially in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to come into our heart. And if we become his instrument, then that incarnation who's giving love of God in this age through the chanting of the holy name will become actually there along with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of separation. And that way we can effectively, not we ourselves, spread the Sankirtan movement. We can become an instrument for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so that he can spread the Sankirtan movement. He can utilize this as an instrument. And we can experience the bliss that he's radiating, the separation from Krishna, his name, form, quality, and pastimes, in such a way is that that people will become interested. If we're radiating an ocean of transcendental pleasure, then people will become a little instrument, you know, interested in finding out how they themselves can get a little drop of that pleasure. I remember when I met the devotees who knew Prabhupada. So they were most impressed by the fact that Prabhupada always seemed happy. It wasn't exactly that he was an old man from India that impressed them. His cookie may have impressed them to a certain extent, but actually the fact that he was always happy, they also wanted to become happy like him. So the incarnations in this age, the instruments of Krishna, they're happy and they teach people to become happy. It's not some, Prabhupada said, it's not some mystical thing. It's not some material thing. Oh, they're so wonderful singer. They're so knowledgeable. No, the most impressive thing is that they're actually happy. They're blissful. And therefore people become interested how they can become blissful. What is the process? The first time I heard a lecture from Srila Prabhupada directly, personally, in Buffalo, New York, 1969, the first thing Prabhupada asked everyone was, it was a Maha big temple, there were like five devotees there. It wasn't exactly a, you know. But anyhow, Prabhupada asked the devotees, do you want to become happy? And everyone, the different devotees looked at each other, bewildered. This must be a trick question. If we answer yes, it's probably wrong. And if we answer no, it's probably wrong. So no one wanted to answer because no one wanted to be wrong. So Prabhupada looked at the devotees, very concerned, trying to figure out which of the different species of life he had to deal with. So he repeated the question again. Do you want to become happy? And still no one could actually figure out the answer. So with great compassion and concern, Prabhupada asked the third time, don't you want to become happy? So one devotee guessed and said yes. And Prabhupada said, oh, that's very good. So everyone is actually looking to become happy. No one has come, no one does anything. Even people torture themselves. They put things through their tongue or their nose or their ears, their eyebrows, whatever. It's to become happy, ultimately. That's the purpose. There may be different types of happiness, but real happiness means that when we come in contact with Krishna and his different incarnations. So by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by the mercy of the Holy Name, by the mercy of Srimad Bhagavatam, eventually all these different incarnations of Krishna will be able to understand why they've come and how we can best serve them. Of course, we're not about, Prabhupada said, the universal form. We can't dress the universal form. We don't have enough cloth. So although we may, as Arjuna, he saw the universal form, but he didn't ask, you know, how can I serve you? You know, offer arti to the universal form. We don't have enough, big enough incense stick. But we can serve all the incarnations because that's our philosophy. Yata, yata turamula nishechena tripyanti taskana bujo pashaka. If we serve the root, and the root in this age is Krishna and his disciple succession coming especially from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the principal service is to chant the holy name without offense and serve the Sankirtan movement by distributing it. So if we serve that, then naturally all the incarnations of Krishna will become happy. Just like principally we have Lord Jagannath here and Lord Baladev and Srimati Subhadra Devi visiting from Jagannath Puri, expanding themselves. So they've come to actually hear us chant Hare Krishna. They didn't come specifically for that they heard the prasadam in Radha Desh is even better than Jagannath Puri. And since, you know, they wanted some Belgian prasad, they expanded themselves here. They heard the chocolate is good, but in Belgium, and they're a little disappointed that the devotees don't offer them chocolate, but that's not why they came here. They came here to hear the devotees in Belgium, who not necessarily from Belgium, whoever's here in Belgium, to chant Hare Krishna. Because that is the process of devotional service in this age. That's when we become an instrument when we water the root in this age of Krishna and all his representatives, that's how we do it in this age. Even in previous ages, when Dhruva Maharaj was about to board the, when he saw the residents of Vrindavan come to take him to Vaikuntha, he forgot what to do. But he simply remembered to fold his hands and chant Hare Krishna. And that was satisfactory to everyone involved. And then, of course, Death Personified came to give him some service. So Death Personified bowed down before Dhruva Maharaj, and Dhruva Maharaj stepped on Death Personified head to board the Vaikuntha airplane. So that's quite nice if you're so elevated. When we see Death Personified, she may not, hopefully they'll offer us obeisances, and hopefully there'll be a Vaikuntha airplane there too for us. In any case, whatever happens, we should chant Hare Krishna. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes. Can you repeat the question?
Yes, you say once in the class, you say that an acharya has a qualification that to just follow the previous acharya.
You mean how to adjust things? That's called acharya. So he adjusts things in such a way as to help people become Krishna conscious and not become deviant. So that takes some intelligence. So how do you know if you're an acharya? Well, if you don't know you're an acharya, then you're not an acharya. Because an acharya, he knows he's an instrument for Krishna. It's not that he's thinking, I'm making these adjustments. He knows that Krishna is giving him, he knows Krishna, and he knows Krishna is giving him the intelligence, how to do things. And how do we know? Because it works without some problem. Prabhupada made some adjustments, but they weren't really so radical. He came to the Western world and he saw boys and girls, they generally intermingled with each other. Therefore, he didn't tell them immediately, you know, you people are in Maya, you know. No, he gradually introduced prasad, first of all. Then he introduced a little philosophy and the chanting. And then the other things, gradually, he tried to introduce gradually. I mean, you look at the pictures, for instance, Prabhupada introduced the deity worship. So when I first joined the movement, everyone in the movement had a Malati Devi Dasi, I think. In Pier 1, she found these little deities of Lord Jagannath. And then there was Baladev and Srimati Sambhadra Devi. And so there was a lot of these little deities. So the idea is that we should associate with a deity. We weren't doing deity worship. No one knew how to worship the deity. But all we knew was that you're supposed to associate with a deity. So someone came up with the idea that we should have the deity around our head. Everyone should carry the deity. So they took a screw and screwed into the head of the deity. And everyone in the movement had one of those deities. And they used to wear those deities around their neck. I had Subhadra Devi. And at night, I was resting on my pillow, and she was resting on the pillow with me. And sometimes in the earlier movies, you can see the devotees with Jagannath on their, you know, on their neck. So when they asked Prabhupada, is there a right to take the deity into the bathroom? So Prabhupada didn't immediately say, you know, what? you put a screw in Lord Jagannath's head? you're all demons. Prabhupada didn't, you know, as we'd say, become all excited. He said, no, it's not a good idea. Just like when I joined the movement, all of us, we all dressed as sannyasis. All the brahmacharis were sannyasis. Because Prabhupada wore that, so we thought that's what we were supposed to wear. But Prabhupada didn't say anything. He was so careful what he said. Not only that, we were calling all the ladies gopis. Every Mataji in the temple was a gopi. We did so many weird things. But Prabhupada didn't object because he knew if he had to start objecting, there was no limit. We were hardly doing anything right. I was listening to that one of the early tapes from 26 Second Avenue, and Gargamuni Prabhu was explaining that this boy came and he was going to type for Prabhupada, type up his manuscripts, because he had asked him what to do. He said, none of us could use this dictating machine because we were taking so much LSD at the time that we didn't know how to utilize both our hand and our foot simultaneously. So that's what Prabhupada had to deal with. So Prabhupada was very careful what he introduced. You know, what he told us to do and what he told us not to do. And gradually it came about. You know, one day Prabhupada said it wasn't a good idea to put a screw through Lord Jagannath's head. And therefore we had to return all our deities. I guess someone didn't trust us. I had to hand in my Subhadra deity. I don't know what happened to her, but I hope it was something good. So gradually things improved, and then we found out we shouldn't dress like this. That took like, I think, 6 years before we found out. Brahmacharya, there's a certain dress for a brahmacharya, a certain dress for a sannyasi. Therefore, how to make these adjustments, that requires some intelligence and some patience also. When to actually make the adjustments. And the result is that, you know, Prabhupada was, even many devotees came and many devotees left. Generally people, even those who left, had a favorable attitude towards Prabhupada. They didn't think that, you know, he was forcing me to do something, most of the time, unless there was some unusual personality. Because Prabhupada was very expert in how he introduced Krishna consciousness. Anything else? Yes. Competitive. Leader, servitors. The more you become a servant, the more you become a leader. So it's a different kind of... Prabhupada was a servant leader. For instance, when it was... Prabhupada taught everyone that they should take a bath, a shower, twice a day. And finally, in 26 Second Avenue, they got the message. And they started to line up in the morning. But there was only one shower. So Prabhupada also had to stand in line. Because his followers then had decided they'd take a shower, and Prabhupada was taking a shower. So they didn't know that Prabhupada should take a shower first. So Prabhupada had to stand in line with everyone else after he trained them up. So Prabhupada didn't say, I'm the leader, I'm taking a shower, you should take a shower. No, Prabhupada said, you should all take a shower, and I should take a shower too. Therefore, he was in a leader by example, not only by precept. He said, you should become a servant, and Prabhupada was the best servant. Prabhupada would cook, he'd serve out the prasadam, then afterwards he'd clean up. And then finally one day, someone figured out, here, we're coming here every day, Prabhupada's cooking for us, or Swamiji's cooking for us, he's serving out the prasadam and cleaning up. Maybe we should do something to help him. That service attitude, after some time, a little bit of it awakened. And then one or two devotees start to help assist Prabhupada. But not that I'm the leader, I've come here to save you all, you know, bow down and serve me. No, Prabhupada was the best of the servants. And he's still the best of the servants. Jai. Thank you very much. Grantharai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Haribol.